This is the Converge Podcast. We meet at 10:30 every Sunday morning at Heritage Baptist Church in the chapel. This is a group that is geared towards those who are young adults who want to follow Jesus and live the gospel life wherever the journey takes them.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Converge. We're so glad that you're here. We brought in some toaster reinforcements over here, so there's another four slice toaster over by the fruit. So if you're backed up on this side and looking for a toaster, you can go over there. Please enjoy the food. There's lots of bagels. Eat a whole one, eat two, you know, we'll eat whatever you want to eat. But we'll get started in about 5 minutes. We'll get started with the rest of our stuff in about 5 minutes. Oh, thanks. You'll find the tablets are coming by, so if you can check in with your phone number when it comes by, that's very helpful. If you're not in the system and you want to know how to get connected with Heritage, then let us know. We'll bring something else to you to get connected. Good morning, everybody. Hey, if you're still getting food, you just keep on getting it. If you've already gotten food and you want more, then feel free at any point to jump up and go get some. If you've been sitting here and you just now realize that there is food, please go ahead, stand up, and go get some. That's great as well. Hey, we're going to get started because I've got a lot that I hope to do today. And the first thing that I want to do is share a couple of announcements with you. I'm going to just be completely transparent with you, and that is I have no idea what announcements Seth has actually put on the screen today, so I'm just going to work through them as he puts them up. All right, is everybody okay with that? All right. This is a big deal. This might be the last Sunday that a lot of you guys come to Converge, at least for the summer. So here's what we got. First, if you want to keep connected with Converge, like you think, hey, I'm going to be gone for the summer, but I want to know what's going on. I want to know how to get plugged back in when I get back. I don't want to miss the first couple of events. Then go ahead and text at HB Converge to 81010, and that'll keep you connected. Hey, guys, can I get everybody's attention up here? We're going to go through some announcements. Seth, can you close those back doors for me? We've also got a podcast, so if you want to track with us through the summer and you're not around, if you're, you know, working somewhere or you're gone home, you can check into our podcast that's on Spotify called Converge Sunday Mornings, and so you can track with that. And then, is that it, Seth? Is that all we got? Oh, man. Okay. Here's a big announcement that we've changed for today. Okay, we've changed this for today. If you're not tracking with me, then you're going to want to hear this one. We had planned for an after church activity today, but there were some scheduling conflicts, so we're not having an after church activity today. We're not going to the Victor's house after lunch. If you show up at the Victor's house, I'm sure that they'll be hospitable. However, they're not planning any special lunch for you or anything like that. So instead, we ordered bagels from my favorite bagel shop, The Bagel and I. So I hope that you're enjoying those. Feel free, again, to keep eating. And if you want to take one home with you, take one home with you if they're still left. All right? I haven't had a voice for most of this week, so I'm not sure how it sounds to you. In my head, my voice is just like echoey and stuff. So I apologize if you're not getting a good representation of a voice up here. So I'm not going to do all of the talking today. I'm going to invite some time around the tables. But before I do, I have some VIPs that I want to introduce you to. All right? There are two people in the room today that I just respect above most people in this world who, outside of my own wife and kids, that I love the most in this world, and that is my parents. My parents are joining us today. They've never been to Converge before, so here they are. They're at the back table in front of the sound booth if you want to meet them. They have promised they won't tell any embarrassing stories about me. Do you guys promise that you? I'm just kidding. All right. Guys, to start with today, here's what I want you to talk about at your tables. I want you to share with each other what. So here's the reality, right? That our group is vastly made up of college students. That's not everybody. A lot of you have work that is consistent throughout the year, or you're moving into like actual career level stuff, but that the majority of the people in the room are college students, and so the summer brings change, and next semester might bring change. That change might be I'm working at a camp this summer. That change might be I'm going back home where it wasn't all that comfortable when I left, and I'm stepping back into it. That change might be I'm getting married this summer. That change might be I'm changing schools. I'm not coming back to Lynchburg. I'm moving to all online. I'm going to have to work full time to pay my bill for next year. Whatever the case, there's probably a good deal of change that's happening in the next 3 to 4 months in this room. And so what I want you to do is I want you to share that change with each other. But here's the thing. If somebody at your table is willing to share what is going on in their life and willing to share that change and maybe even be vulnerable about how they feel about that change, then I want somebody else at the table to step up and say they'll pray for them. Okay? So I want you to pray for each other as you share what's coming up in the changes and be honest about where that is so we can pray honestly for you, okay? We're going to take 10 or 15 minutes, and I just want you to share those things at the table and pray for one another, okay? And then I'll be back. All right, guys, I hope that you have learned a way that you can pray for the people at your table. As we go from here in the next few weeks, some people will be changing in different days, different weeks. That'll be your last week. But for some of you, I realize that this may be your last week. And I want you to be sure to remember that as we go from here, if especially as you are thinking of coming back, that this is part of the body. And we want to pray for one another. We want to lift each other up. We want to build you up as you go through some of the hard things that you might face away from here. Sometimes, I don't know if this is you, but sometimes the environment of school, the environment of a new church, the environment of a new town brings peace to an otherwise unstable background. And so if you're the person who's leaving what feels like stability and going back into instability, then we would cherish the chance to pray with you, walk through that with you, to be able to even be somebody that you can call as you're away, if that happens to be you. If you are just so thrilled with what God's got laid out for you for the summer, we would also love to celebrate that with you. So as you get a chance, if you want to tell some of the leaders that are in the room so that we who are staying behind can pray for you intelligently, knowing what's going on, then we would love to do that. Guys, this year has been full of some activities, and I know that the bulk of what we do happens right here at this time on Sunday morning, but there's actually been quite a few things that have taken place at other times in other places. And we've had a few CSER students this year, people doing their Christian service at Liberty, who took photos all year, who just did some photo magic and have put it together in a video we're gonna watch. It's these ladies right here at the front center table who are like this right now. But I hope you enjoy a look back. Did great. Thank you so much. One more round of applause for the ladies who put it together. So if you're leaving for the summer, come back next year for a new slate of stuff that we're going to be doing, and we're just excited about what God has for this group and how we can be involved in the lives of each other and in our community. We really want to leverage the time that we have with you to make an impact in your lives, but also in our community alongside each other. So looking forward to what God has for us in the next phase of Converge. One of the things that is core to how we run things in Converge is realizing that the time you're in it should actually be limited, that you don't come and just stay in Converge, that this is kind of a stopping point along the way. For most, that's during the time that you're in Lynchburg, and then you actually leave Lynchburg. For a good number, it's the time that you're moving from, say, a youth group type of environment and into the greater church population, and this is sort of a migration path through from one to the other, and we love to walk through those stages of transition with you. And so one of the things that has been very important to the leadership team is to not just celebrate as people come in, but to actually celebrate well when people move on purpose. And so we want to do that today, and we won't have time to necessarily celebrate it in as huge a detail as we might like to do, but we would like to celebrate it. One of those is a face featured in that video quite a bit was Hunter. We love Hunter. He's done a great job this year. He's not really going anywhere physically, but as far as the time working on staff with me, that year has come to an end. And so I love Hunter, love what we've been able to do, and it's just been a chance to celebrate him through the video and also what we're doing here. Maybe you're graduating, and that's going to bring a huge change in expectations that are put on you, the decisions you're going to have to make for yourself, because you're not having professors telling you what to do next. Maybe you're starting that new job that's supposed to lead into a career. And like I said earlier, maybe you're looking at a wedding day coming up in the next few months. And so if one of those changes is happening that we've just been sharing and praying about, and that means that you're no longer going to be a part of Converge because it's just part of the natural movement away from the young adult or college student kind of environment, we want to specifically pray for you. So if that describes you, if you feel like this day or the next few weeks might be the last time, or sometime this summer, this is going to be the last time, and you're going to be moving out of Converge, can you come and stand up in the front, please? Anybody? Does anybody feel like that's you? Probably is some of you. Who's not? All right, come on, ladies. Who else? Who else? Yep, come on, Michael. Seth, can you send a microphone up here? Maybe Sammy can bring it or something. Anybody else? No? So we'll see all of you here this summer or in the fall. That's awesome. We love that. Okay. All right, so all I want to do is hear from you, like, what's going to be next, okay? Or what is the big change that's happening, okay? That's what we would, it doesn't have to be in-depth, but here, you can hold this. Just tell us what's going on that's making the change, and if you know what the next step is.
Graduating college and working full-time.
All right, good.
I'll be graduating in May and moving out for an internship. So.
Okay.
I'm also graduating and then interning with Samaritan's Purse and seeing what's next.
Great.
I'm also graduating and going to an internship with Samaritan's Purse.
All right, leaving together. Good, thank you. Guys, with that, we've been studying through Ephesians all year. Okay, And at the very beginning of Ephesians, Paul describes how he prays for the Ephesians. And it's how I want us to pray for these guys today, okay? So I'm going to read some verses for you. Paul says, I do not cease, this is starting in verse 16 of chapter 1. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might. I also long for you guys to experience a huge amount of joy in your celebrating of commencement. I also long for you guys to enjoy a huge amount of success in your internships, in your careers. I look forward to hearing the stories of who and where God is going to take you and with whom he's going to send you through life. Okay? I long to hear those things. But if any of those are not precipitated by an understanding of what Paul has said here, that you know that you have the wisdom, spirit of wisdom and of revelation and knowledge of him, that your hearts are enlightened, and that you know what is the hope to which he has called you and the immeasurable greatness of his power working in you, then the rest doesn't amount to as much. So what we're going to pray for you is that as you go, your relationship with Jesus deepens, regardless of where you land, that as you look for the next body of believers to meet with, that you will find that group that speaks truth into your life, that builds you up, that looks for your understanding of Christ to be enlightened, so that you too can do what Jesus did. The immense, let's pray together. Father, you have given us a huge privilege to walk through life together. You've described it as a body that has to work and function well together in order for all the parts to grow the right way and to contribute the way that you've intended them to contribute. So today, Father, we pray for these four, that you would do a work in their hearts to give them your spirit, which is already present in them if they know you, but a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. That as they go through lives, their eyes of their hearts would be enlightened so that they would know that in all the instability that's coming through change, that they have a hope which to which you have called them, and that it comes with the riches of your glorious inheritance. But not only that, that you have a desire to use them in this life, and it's with an immeasurable amount of the greatness of your power towards us who believe. And so would you use them, Father? Would you take them from here, grounded in and rooted in the love of Christ, but to be used wherever you take them? So, Father, would you develop them, help them to understand you, help them to prioritize their walk with you, their time in your word, so that you would be able to have an immeasurable amount of the greatness of your power on display through lives that you have changed. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys. You can have a seat. All right. Today, we're going to finish up our trip through Ephesians. Are you ready for that? We've been doing that since September, little bits at a time. And today, I want to give you 5 minutes to get your bearings on where we are in Ephesians chapter 6. Okay, so at your table, I want you to briefly look through the first 5 chapters of Ephesians, and I want you to try to get 1 or 2 statements that summarize each chapter, okay? So you can, is everybody listening? You can use the cheat notes that people have put in your Bibles, the little captions over there. It's okay. You don't have to come at it and reinvent the wheel. But I want you to get your bearings on where we are in Ephesians, okay? So walk through all the first five chapters and just get a brief statement or two on each chapter to just get you set on where we're going into chapter six. Okay, I'll give you 5 minutes. see if we can pool our work together here and talk through a few key statements that take us through the first five chapters of the book of Ephesians. So how would you, or how did your table summarize chapter one? Anybody? Or a couple of statements? Courage, guys, courage. Yeah. Who we are in Christ and our response to that. Yeah, there's a lot of identity starting to get unveiled in chapter one, and then some of the ways that, especially internally, we can respond to that. All right? Anybody else? How about we move to chapter two? Who's got a statement for chapter two? Yeah.
We are saved by grace alone through faith in Jesus, and we have a church and union with each other.
Yeah, so maybe we could even say we've been unified through Christ, through his work, and we are unified to each other through his work, too. Okay, great. How about chapter 3? Yeah.
Like, salvation is for Jews and for Gentiles?
It's not just for one group, which brings then, so if we're talking like a local church group body that needs to have unity, now we're also talking about all people, that there aren't even the more natural barriers that would come between people, if we talk Jew and Gentile, that needs to be, those have been broken down in Christ. Good. Okay. How about chapter 4? Did I call it too quickly? Did we not get to it? Here we go. Surprise.
Not bad. How we as a body of Christ are supposed to join and live together and live a new life that is completely separate from our past life.
Yeah, the new life looks different, right? It looks different in multiple ways. It looks different in how we individually live it out, and it also looks different in how we corporately live that out. Good. How about chapter 5? Did anybody get that far? Oh, I see a hand right there. Sammy's gotcha.
We talked about the practicality of what Paul is saying here. So we said practical, spirit-guided living.
Practical, spirit-guided living. I like that. I like that. That's really good. So thank you, Sammy, for running around. We'll be done with that for now. Everybody give Sammy a round of applause. If you guys don't know Sammy, you should meet him. He's a great guy. All right, we talked about how the first three chapters of Ephesians generally set up an understanding of who we are in Christ, okay? It's identity setting. It's massively identity setting if we really understand it, that it radically changes how we look at ourselves and then also others as we understand who we are and what Christ has done for us, and for the greater body to break down walls of hostility. And it kind of sets us in an understanding of humility before God and before others, that it's massively identity setting. And then chapters 4 through 6, we've not gotten to chapter 6 until today, but with chapters 4 through 6, we said now it kind of lays out how that's supposed to work, that what Paul has done for us is declare who we are and then how we're supposed to live in light of who we are. And so we've talked about these things. Hopefully you feel like you've got your bearings set on where we are. The last things that we covered were this idea that within the body there is an opportunity for us to display submission to one another, and that Paul gives three specific examples of how that could play out, especially in a household type of environment. And we doubled down on husband and wife relationship, coming back at it for even two more weeks. So if you were here last week, Hopefully you had some great conversation with some of our leaders as to how that even looks in their own marriages as it's represented in front of you among our leadership team here. Some of us were away last week at the men's conference, and so I hate to have missed that. But if you missed the men's conference and you're here in 3 years, you should go. It was a lot of fun. So now we've made it to a very familiar part of Ephesians. This is a part early childhood. You may have even worn symbols of it in different environments if you've grown up in the church, because we do funny things like that, like strap you up in plastic armor and talk about the armor of God. We do those kinds of things. And all of it is meant to give you a baseline understanding of what God has done as you go through life, that you can go back and think of those things and imagine those things. And in fact, I'll even tell you that at a church I was at when I was in grad school, there was some discussion about the sword of the Spirit and the Word of God, and I talked with the pastor that I was serving with there at that time, and he said, "Hey, come to my office, I have something for you." And in talking about this imagery, right, of the sword of the Spirit and in general the armor of God, he hands me a replica Roman short sword, and he's like, "Here, this is for you. I was saving it for graduation, but you can have it now." And I'm like, "Why do you have this just sitting in your office?" was first one question, but it didn't actually surprise me that much. And then second was, "Okay, great, I have this perfect image to share with people in what I'm talking about." But generally, we do that. We kind of take the thing that we can grasp the most, the armor itself, you know, the metal, the leather, and we kind of fixate on that. And so today, what I want us to do is I want us to grab two, maybe three big things that if you walk away with anything, okay, then this is what I want you to grasp. Number one is the setup to the actual armor is an understanding that we're already in a battle. It's not just preparation for a future battle. That we are in a battle. And that's something that I think we, in our context, American freedom, we just don't, we have the ability to live in naivety to a raging battle that's actually happening around us. So that's step number one, okay? I want us to grasp the fact that there is actually already a battle going on and that you're a part of it. Number two is that each of these pieces of armor do a little bit in the communication of them what the rest of the book of Ephesians has done, which is tell you something about who you are or what you have in Jesus and give you some idea of how that should play out. Each of these have kind of two facets, and we're going to try to look at them in now the 9 minutes that I have left today. We're going to try to look at them and see those two facets just from the book of Ephesians. We're going to try to bounce back and forth. Okay, I hope you're ready. We're going to be moving quite a bit. Okay, I don't have anything on the screen. You've got your Bibles. You've got your phones. You're going to be moving with me. We're going to vastly stay in the book of Ephesians today, but we're going to look at a lot of different verses. Okay, so first thing I'm going to do is read verses 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. All right, so first, we are in a battle. It's already raging. It's already happening. We dismiss it as things that we don't see, as experiences that we chalk up to some other coincidence or whatever the case may be. But we actually are actively in a battle. And Paul says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Can I settle on that we just for a second? I want you to think of all of the ways in the first five chapters of Ephesians that Paul has described unity and that the gospel brings us together and that we need to be in the body and that anything that would normally or by human standards be something that would break us apart should have already been torn down, and that we here that Paul says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. I just think that brings a whole new clarity and weight to the we if we understand the first five chapters that you just did a quick review of, and how much unity matters within the body, so that we go out to battle on a regular basis. We find ourselves in little enclaves that feel safe. Christian colleges, church, roommates that all are believers, workplace that celebrates Christ more than some others do, or something like that. We find ourselves in little enclaves that feel safe, but in fact, there's a war raging. There's a war raging for your mind and affections online. There's a war raging in our culture to tear down the truths of what God has established in His Word. There's a war raging in your own flesh and lusts and desires. And there's just constantly a battle going on. And we don't just battle against flesh and blood. And it's sometimes part of it. But we actually battle against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world. But we do that together. That's the way it's meant to be, is that we have unity with one another, and as we put on the whole armor of God, and as we fight against what is going on in this world as ambassadors, because that's a word Paul uses at the end, that as an ambassador in chains, that as we engage with this world and with the rulers of darkness in this world, that we do that together. We need each other. But we're already a part of this. We are strong in the Lord. Finally, be strong in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God. We are strong in the Lord by putting on the whole armor of God as we battle against the raging forces that are already at work in this world. So as we look at the pieces of armor that Paul describes, there are a couple of things that I want you to try to think through with me on each one. One is what is already set and true. And the other is, if that's the case, how does that empower us to live moving forward? Okay, so the first piece of armor is the belt of truth. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. The belt would have been the anchor point of the armor. Okay, that you need this. It seems insignificant, this belt, but it actually is kind of the anchor point of everything else. And so when we think of truth and all the rest that we're expected to live out in the rest of Ephesians chapter 6 here, we need an anchor point that's reliable. Okay? Jesus has said, this is not in Ephesians, Jesus has said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. We need the ability to anchor what is going on around us, even our motivation to engage what's going on around us, with truth that's reliable. If you go back to, sorry about that, if you go back to chapter 1, verse 13, chapter 1, verse 13, Paul says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. That we heard the word of truth, the information about the gospel, we heard that, and that's part of what has been done. We've been given the truth. I'm going to actually, if you guys can read really loud, I'm going to ask you to read verses, okay, so that I'm not bouncing back and forth. When we heard the word of truth, this truth has been given to us through through the gospel truth of Jesus. But then we get into chapter 4, and we're supposed to do something with that truth. Can somebody read chapter 4, verse 15 really loud? Chapter 4, verse 15. I see you, Dave Shanton.
Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ.
Once we've had the truth revealed to us, now, just one instance, there are other actually ways we can look at this. What I'm telling you today is not exhaustive to all of Ephesians, nor is it exhaustive to all of Scripture. I'm just giving you a couple of highlights, that once we've had the truth revealed to us and we've been given an inheritance in Christ because of believing that truth, we now have the privilege and responsibility to speak truth in love to others. And so speaking the gospel to each other regularly, can I get a handheld mic up here, Sammy? When we have the truth given to us, then we have the privilege of then giving it to others. That we need to speak that truth as often as it is appropriate, because it's how we actually contribute to the growth of others. That's what Dave just shared with us. All right, moving on. Breastplate of righteousness. Thanks. Oh, thanks, Nicole. All right. The breastplate of righteousness. I'm going to probably kick that over, so just watch for it. The breastplate of righteousness now gives you this major coverage of internal organs, right? Okay, that's the symbolism of the breastplate, that major coverage of the of internal vital organs that are going to keep you from the worst injury. And that is going to be now described as righteousness, okay? The breastplate of righteousness. Can somebody flip back to chapter 1 and read me verse 4? Okay, so it doesn't specifically say righteousness, but holy and blameless kind of go in that package of righteousness. And we, there's no way that we can achieve holiness and blamelessness without the work of Jesus. And so what we've seen throughout Ephesians and really in the gospel is that we have this exchange, right, of our sinfulness for his righteousness, that now Paul has described holy can't achieve and set, that we are holy and blameless because of the work of Jesus. It's not something that we achieve perfectly right now, but as a standing before God, because we are in union with Jesus, we are holy and blameless. There is a lot of work to play that out in day-to-day life. But as a status before the Father,
We're holy and blameless. But would somebody else read chapter 4, verse 24? Okay, so we talked about how what Paul describes in chapter 4 there is that there is a reality, okay? You are new. You have been moved from darkness to light, so walk in light, right? We're told here to put on the new self. We've been given the new self. It's done. That's part of the identity that we've received beforehand. But in that, we still have to put on the new self. We still have to continually kind of work out those things. You know, James, I think it's James says in fear and trembling that we need to work this out so that we put on the new self, which is in true righteousness. That there's continual development of this, that we get to live in true righteousness as we put on the new self, which is already a part of who we are. We're just being who we actually are, instead of living in a falsehood of dabbling in sin when we've actually already been made righteous with Christ. As far as the shoes that give us the readiness by the gospel of peace, we're talking kind of like cleats, okay? So the Roman battle sandals would have had some cleats with it, very fashion forward, right? To give stability in the battle. And what we understand to be true about the work of Christ on our behalf is that we have a peace with God. In chapter 2, verse 14, I'm going to skip the everybody reading because I'm way over time already, but that Jesus Christ himself is our peace. Chapter 2, verse 14, he himself, because Seth is awesome, he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. We have a peace that is supernatural through the work of Jesus. But because we have this peace, we're also supposed to be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's chapter 4, verse 3. So as you see us bouncing, I hope you notice this, right? We're generally bouncing from the first three chapters of Ephesians to set the thing that is already done, right? That we understand to be true. And then in the last half of Ephesians, we're seeing how it plays out. So chapter 4, verse 3, says we need to be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, that we have that stability in battle as we together, unified, battle together. And so we need to be eager to maintain that peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. I can't read my handwriting. I'm sorry. Here, I'm lost for a second. And chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Seth, can you put that on the screen? Chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. That Christ is far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above everyone that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. I might have put the wrong reference down. That in Christ we have we've been given a faith, right? And we have faith in one who is going to be stable and able to provide protection for us as we have faith in him. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, we have unity in the faith and that we're not carried away. That by being unified in the faith that we have in Jesus, that we have now stability with one another, so that we need to act in faith as we are bonded together through this one faith that we have in Christ. And that's a really great picture of you've probably seen images of Roman shields in battle as they do kind of a turtle shell move where they all link up together and we together, though the shields are already huge, like body size, now together we become very much protected one with another under the shield of faith as we have one faith together. Then we take on the helmet of salvation, which actually Paul repeats in 1 Thessalonians 5, except that he describes it as a helmet that is the hope of salvation. And so as we think about the hope that comes in salvation, in chapter 1, verse 18, we see the hope with which to which he has called you, that we have this mindset that secures us in the battle when we understand hope. You get that? The helmet of salvation being a protection for your mind in this battle that we need as we go through the turbulent days, as we go through affliction, as we go through persecution, if that's where God takes us, as we suffer with Jesus, because that's kind of what we've been promised from Jesus. As we suffer with Jesus, that we have a hope that is bigger than where we are currently. And we have that hope established in the work of Christ. And not only that, that hope is shared with one another. So we have one hope in chapter 4, verse 4. As Paul talks about all of that unity discussion, that there's one hope, one faith, one baptism. Our hope is shared. And so as we get to speak the gospel of hope together, then it gives us that strength in numbers that we need as the body of Jesus. Lastly, we get to the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And our lives were changed. We already read this verse before, chapter 1, verse 13, when we heard the word of truth. But not only did we hear it and experience the change, we're also supposed to use the truth as we bind ourselves together. And so Paul describes us speaking, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, speaking the word of God to each other, that we're building one another up in the word of God, so that not only has it changed who we are, set us in an identity, but it propels us into body life together and battle life together. Paul closes this passage saying that we need to really pray. He says we need to pray at all times in the Spirit. We need to pray all kinds of prayers, all prayer and supplication. We need to pray and keep on praying with all perseverance. And we need to pray for all of God's people, for all the saints. And so there's really no lack of motivation right here in what Paul's saying, that we need to pray more. More for all people, more in all circumstances, more in all kinds of ways, more for God to work in us and through us as he binds us together and puts us into his service, which is specifically how Paul has said to pray specifically for him, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel in chains, boldly as he ought to speak. Guys, we need to continually pray for one another as we battle together, bind together in what God has already done, that each of these pieces of armor describes an aspect of our life that is set, that we have in Christ. It's done, and it's there, and that's why he can say, put on the armor, not go find it, not build it, not figure it out, but put on the armor of God so that you can battle against the enemy. So it's set, but each of the pieces of armor should also motivate you in how you relate to one another within the body and also how we battle together. Let's pray together. Father, you have given us a great gift in your word as we've studied the book of Ephesians this year to understand more clearly what you have given us to know about ourselves, and more importantly, about you and what you have done on our behalf through the blood of your son, Jesus. That we're changed. That we've been moved from darkness to light. And that it's now our responsibility to walk in light. You've already moved us. So, Father, help us to be who you've made us to be. Not to dabble in the fleshly desires that we have all the time. Not to think, what can I do? How how close can I be to enjoying what the world enjoys? But Father, would you change our hearts to pursue you full force and really look for the ways that we can most grow and most be effective for your service as we think of the fact that we are already in a battle and we live in naivety, like it's not raging around us. Father, would you put it in our hearts to know you more, to represent you well, to be fiercely following after you, so that in the ways that we need to use your word as a sword, that you would already have done a work in us with that sword that is sharper than any two-edged sword, that cuts us before it's used in anybody else's life. You would change us, help us to know our identity in you, so that we can be most effective, speaking boldly as we ought to speak. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, next week, Ben Forrest will be back to finish up some talk through the Killjoys, and then we'll be hitting summertime really soon. But I hope your last few weeks of semester go well, and we'll see you next time.
thank you for listening to the podcast. If you would like to get plugged into a small group, just text HBConverge to 81010 and you will get the text reminders for all the small groups. If you have any questions, just respond to one of those text reminders and it will go to our leadership team, and they'll be able to respond to you directly.